Listen to something fresh. Listen to Salaam Media.
Welcome back to The Special Focus. Welcome back to Salaam Media. I'm Zahid Jadwit and I'm here with you. And today we are speaking about the coronavirus. This pandemic has gripped the world and has caused a large disruption. In fact, a nationwide lockdown is now pending here in South Africa, just as there already are such measures being implemented around the world. So to help us get a better understanding of the situation, we are joined on the line now by Dr. Angelique Kutsia. She is the National Chairperson of the South African Medical Association. Dr. Kutsia, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's just a pleasure.
Now, first and foremost, let me state from the very beginning that our intention here is to educate the listeners rather than proactively engage in the creation of a hype that causes panic. So I want to know from you, Dr. Angelique, what are we dealing with here? Just the basics, what every person should know about COVID-19.
Okay, first of all, it is extremely important to understand the virus and that the body needs to make antibodies against the virus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the virus comes into the body. You can get it via your respiratory tract. So I'm going to try, I know I'm not scientific, so for all the scientists out there, please do not get a heart attack. Mm-hmm. I need to make this clear to the normal public out there. This is a public trying explanation, not a scientific explanation, although it's based on facts. So mm-hmm. you get the virus by either inhaling it or touching your eyes, because the mucous membranes, that is, mucous membranes is sitting in your eyes, because there's mucus there, if there's a watery surface,
mm-hmm.
then you can get it in through your mouth or your nose. So I touch something, because it can stay up till 9 hours on the surface of, let's say, a desk. So I'm touching my desk, and as a normal person, 20 times per minute, per hour, touches their face, and I scratch my eye, you know, or I just rub my nose, it gets into me,
mm-hmm.
okay? Mm-hmm. So then it depends on my immune system. So now it goes into my body, it's going to lie somewhere. Normally it will lie in the back of your throat and up and downwards into your air pipes,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Will lie there, and then if I've got a good immune system, it will take away the virus, there will be a little war going on, and your immune system will win the war.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take anything up from 5 days or 2 to 14 days, but the average time is normally 5 days, between 5 and 6 days. Okay. So then I'm starting in that time, when it's lying there, my body is fighting and winning the fight, I will not have symptoms. I might, if I go for a test positive, and this is where the confusion starts. So I have a patient who tests positive without symptoms. What do I do with that patient? So the average doctor will say, go and self-contain. Mm-hmm. Because there's actually nothing I can do to you, because we know about between 18 and 20% of patients will test positive without having symptoms. I cannot treat someone who don't have symptoms. I just need to say to that person, well, you've got symptoms, you're not very contagious, but please rather stay at home and self-contain. Don't go out to the shops, come too near to your family. Stay at least 3 meters to 6 meters away from your family. Don't hack your wife. Although you're not very infective, you still have something underlying. And then with a second group of people, the body will try to combat this virus there with antibodies, but the virus is a bit more stronger than the antibodies. They will get more symptoms. They will have a sore throat, a dry cough, a fever, and then the flu-like symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So that, unfortunately, the patients that is clogging up the system.
Okay.
Of course, they think they are now going to get a severe disease. They come into the surgery, they want something, there's actually nothing that I can give to you. I can treat you symptomatic. They want a blood test. We do the blood test, not the blood test, the throat swab.
Mm-hmm.
It can become better. For you, I will again say, go and self-quarantine. If you get worse, and that's the third group, then you need to contact me. Now, the third group is actually the group that we are worried about. This is why we're taking the rest of the public or patients away. We want to get them not into the vicinity of the rest of the 20%. Now, the 20% is people like elderly people, and for this definition, elderly people is anything between 60 and 65 and onwards.
Mm-hmm.
People with an immune system that's not good, and they have TB, they've got underlying HIV that is not treated. We're not talking about here the patients that is treated. We're talking about patients that's poorly treated. That's not controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Asthma, people who smoke, people who's got other diseases like lupus, like rheumatoid arthritis. Those are the diseases that normally brings down your immune system. So now that poor patient, his immune system is now trying to fight this virus. Remember the battle that's going on in your air parts and in your lungs now?
Mm-hmm.
Because the virus is stronger than your immune system. Your immune system tries to send more soldiers to fight and combat this enemy. And in the end of the day, a confusion is starting with the immune system of the body. They start to attack their own people, their own soldiers that they're sending out, and you then get really sick.
Okay.
So that person will have a real temperature of 38+. They will have a fast breathing. Normal breathing is 12 times per minute. Their breathing will increase to over 30 per minute.
Mm-hmm.
They will have a fast pulse rate, because if they would have a sore throat, they would really have body aches and pains. And because the breathing is increased, they will have difficulty in breathing. So what I see is a lot of patients sitting in front of me saying, oh, doctor, I've got difficulty in breathing. Okay, what is your breath rate? At 12 per minute. No, you are anxious, or there's another reason why you have that. Because you do not fulfill the criteria of severe COVID-19 infection. And that person then get a pneumonia, because the virus then go on and damage the lung tissue. Get a pneumonia, nearly half of them will be admitted, or that half will go onto a ventilator because of the infection in the lungs, with a lot of fluid lying there, a lot of dead soldiers, virus, you know, it becomes, they cannot breathe on their own. They will get, they will be put onto a machine, we call it a ventilator, that will breathe for them during that time, and unfortunately half of them will not make it. And that's where our problems is lying, because we do not have enough beds for those people. If they come in at one stage, we do not have enough ventilators. So there will come a time, if people doesn't listen, and in fact the 20% that cannot afford to get this, if they keep on infecting them,
mm-hmm.
we will come at a stage where we will need to decide who are we going to put onto the ventilator. And it becomes extremely stressful for the doctors, because you then need to say, listen, you're too old, you've got a lot of disease, we're not going to pull you through. I rather need this ventilator for the younger person or another person who's less compromised. And this is the ultimate place that we are going to go. So why the president then said, okay, total lockdown, is we need to get the healthy and the less sick out of the way from the other people. And that's what we mean by flattening the curve.
Mm-hmm.
So you try to make the curve just more manageable at the doctor level and the hospital level.
Okay, in layman's terms, could you just possibly briefly explain to us what exactly is this flattening curve?
Okay, so the flattening. So if you look at this, the numbers, you will see we are above 500. Maybe we will get to 600 today. So the curve, so the numbers increase of patients infected. So it increased very rapidly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it increases very rapidly. Of that 500 patients currently, only about 50 and less will be severely ill. So by that 50 or less that severely ill put a train onto the ICU beds that we have, the beds for patients that are really sick that needs to be in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
If you then, what you then now try to do is you try not to get 50 patients at one stage. You try to flatten it to say, okay, if we can get the other people, if we can do lockdown, we can instead of 50 people getting the disease at once, we will now maybe have 30. So by tomorrow, the increase will not be as sharp as it was. We try to flatten the curve so that it's manageable for the doctors and the hospitals to handle the patients. That is what it's about. The reason why the schools also closed is not because we're afraid that the children is going to get so sick, but they are such nice carriers. You know, I always call them little terrorists. They are such carriers of this virus without them getting severely ill. But they spread it to the grandparents and to the rest of the community. So that's why it's better to close the schools so that we get the young and the healthy also out of the way so they can't carry the virus over to someone else.
Now,
also,
continue.
Also remember, if I'm part of that first group, I test positive, I'm not really sick, or I'm part of the second group, I test positive, I'm, you know, average sick, I've got the flu-like symptoms, I'm not feeling well, I really need a bed. They are contagious, but not that contagious. The people who's really contagious is the severe people. So now, if they get the disease, it takes about 3 to 4 days for them to get into the hospital. So that is what we also, people need to understand it. So if I have made the diagnosis of the severely ill one, the chance that person, when he has the virus in him and he's losing the fight with his immune system, will be admitted within 3 to 4 days of making that diagnosis is a very high possibility. It's not a virus that I feel like is as if I've got fever, flu, you know, my sores, I've got the sore throat, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And after 4 or 5 days, I still have more or less the same symptoms. They're not our problem.
And
the problem is that guy who progressed from that symptoms to that breathing to the pneumonia. And that is quite fast. It's, as I've said, between 2 to 4 days, it's like going into labor. You will not miss the delivery of your baby, and you will not miss the virus going into your lungs. You will know, because you will be severely ill. If I can get that message out there.
Okay. And speaking about the symptoms, just briefly, is it necessary to present all the symptoms, or like perhaps just a cough or a slight fever? Could that be enough, or do we need to present all the symptoms in order to be diagnosed?
No, you're absolutely correct. You don't need to have all the symptoms. You only have to have a sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be positive for the virus. But again, remember what I've said. That is part of the 80%.
Mm-hmm.
You go home, you stay home, you take all nice stuff that's out there to help you with the symptoms. You don't get close to your family. You stay where you are. And you don't spread it. Because again, you don't spread it because you don't know who is the 20%. The other thing is, if you've got that sore throat and you're positive for the coronavirus, you're still not my problem, except if you progress within 3 to 4 days to having pneumonia, a lung infection, and you will not miss it. Remember what I've said, it's like a delivery, you won't miss it.
Mm.
You will know that you are severely ill. That is our problem.
Okay, got it. We'll leave it there for now. Let's take a short break, and when we get back, we will dig deeper into this discussion, I'm also beginning to wonder, is our national health system adequately prepared to face the coronavirus and this 20% of the patients who would need serious care? So please hold on the line, Dr. Angelique Kutsia. When we get back, we will dig deeper. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You are listening to the special focus on Salaam Media with myself, Zahir Jadwit. And today we are talking to Dr. Angelique Kutsia. We are talking about COVID-19. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much to Dr. Kutsia for holding on the line while we took that ad break. So now the question we would like to ask is our national health system prepared adequately to face the challenges and to face the serious cases, those 20% of cases which you spoke about before the break? Are we ready to cater for these patients?
It is a challenge. We don't have quarantine places. Now I'm talking about the average person living in an average suburb will have at least 3 or 4 rooms in his house. In that mm-hmm. case, one room must be dedicated to the patient with the positive, even if it's only the sore throat, because remember, you never know who you can give it to. Mm. Not because you are so severely ill, it's because you don't know who you can infect. So that person must stay in one room. Now, it becomes very problematic if we say, you need to self-quarantine, but you're living in a squatter camp, you only have one room and there's 10 people living in that one room, there's no running water, there's nothing. So now how do I quarantine that person? Mm. The current National Department of Health is working very hard in the background to come up with ideas. We think what will maybe happen is that in a community, you will have a community hall or a school hall that will be converted into a sort of a quarantine center for those people who we know have the means to self-quarantine.
Now, of course, there have been many conspiracies relating to the COVID-19 outbreak. One that stood out for me was a book supposedly written some decades ago, which supposedly makes reference to an outbreak in 2020. On this, people say that the disease could have been concocted as a biological weapon and meant to kill us. Is there any truth to this? What do you make of this conspiracy?
No, SAMHSA, you know, we look at all the evidence. It is clear there's no conspiracy theory here. It is clear what happened. It comes from the bat. It infected some of the animals. People ate that animals, and there was a mutation to infect humans. Because in the bat, it is a normal, it lives in peace with the bat. It will not infect the bat. But that is the host. That is the hotel. They are the people living in the hotel. So they are having a good relationship, but not in people.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we also have, if you look at the so-called vark grip and the bird flu, all of that, it's the same. There was a mutation from animals, which is normally not very sick, to people. But your dog and your cat at this stage is not a problem. They will not give it to you, even if they have it that they're not infected. No, it's not a disease of dogs and cats. So please just and all birds, please.
Okay, yeah. Yes.
So there's no conspiracy. Also, I need to make it extremely clear there, and we have said now this to our doctors. No one must go and buy chloroquine or plasmaquine over the counter. We have now asked the pharmacy companies or the pharmaceuticals and the pharmacists, please block that, because there's a rumor going around that if you use chloroquine when you think you're getting the disease or to prevent you from getting the disease, you will be fine. No, please, it's not true. Mm-hmm. Chloroquine is a treatment for malaria. So if we get resistance against malaria, what are we going to give to those patients? And malaria patients normally die. That is a severe disease. So now people are buying this over the counter, because you can buy 20 tablets over the counter,
mm-hmm.
and think you're going to be fine. No, please don't do that.
Okay.
And also, I need to explain the thing about the ibuprofen.
Mm-hmm.
There's also myths going around about that. So
yeah.
The reason why we say Panado, because Panado is always safe. If you're elderly patients, most of the elderly patients do have kidney problems, and if they take an anti-inflammatory, it can worsen their kidney problems. While Panado will not do that. So that's why we recommend Panado as the first. You cannot do a lot of harm with Panado. But if I want to prescribe ibuprofen to you for help you something, fine, I can do that. And the ibuprofen is not going to make the virus grow stronger, please. I need that myth out there.
Okay. Let me just read a message here. For the listeners, remember that you can contact us and you can send in your comments to 0617660355. That's the WhatsApp number. And alternatively, you can tweet me at Sahi Jadwid, and you can tweet and tag at Salaam Media. So this message comes from Michael Watts, and it says, if the virus ends up in the townships, it would be impossible to control. South Africa is not prepared for that. Imagine how many taxis people take to get to work. 4 taxis in one day, and everybody has to remember if we were in the same taxi. And I think that's why the lockdown has been implemented. It will be implemented, in fact. So do you think that these measures, Dr. Angelique, do you think that these measures are measures that will work for us?
Well, it's going to help. It's really going to help. Remember, everything goes about to try to flatten the curve, to get healthy people out of the way and people with mild disease that doesn't know it, or only mild, as I've said, light to mild disease, to get them out of the way so that we do not infect the real sick people. Some of the real sick people with immune compromised doesn't even know that they are immune compromised. If I'm saying to a patient who's a severe smoker, 55 years of age or 60 years of age, listen, you are immune compromised because your lungs are not good of all these years of tobacco smoke, they will laugh at me. And they don't understand that they are actually immune compromised. So now you can think for yourself, I'm a heavy smoker, I'm fine, I'm okay. And then this virus actually loves that type of lung.
Mm-hmm.
It will attack that lung. So we need to get them out. Whether the lockdown will lessen the curve, we do not know. We will be able to answer that question between 2 to 3 weeks from the lockdown started. I just need to warn the listeners out there.
Mm-hmm.
This 21 days is not a given that it's going to be after 21 days that it will be lifted. It's all going to depend on the behavior of people and the behavior of the virus. If we do not get that curve flattened, meaning less very sick people,
mm-hmm.
it's going to continue.
Okay. So we'll have to just wait and see. I guess time will tell. Now, just before we wrap up, let me just mention here, on Tuesday, Higher Education Minister Bladen Zimande announced that South Africa has, in fact, started work on the development of a vaccine for the COVID-19 virus. 2 questions here, Dr. Angelique. Do we really have what it takes to tap into something like this? We've never dealt with coronavirus COVID-19 before. And the question number 2 is, the minister said progress is expected in about 18 months or so. So the second question is, do we really have enough time to wait 1.5 years just for a vaccine when the disease is going wild as we speak and at the moment only symptoms can be treated?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. So let me just give a bit more clarification. South Africa on its own is not working on a vaccine. We are part of an international group. And that group, as far as they are busy in the background to get all the necessary protocols in place to start on this, as far as my knowledge is, that this will only start in June, July, the real work, but we are part of an international team. So it's not South Africa on its own, sitting here on its own, working on this. So that's the first thing, we're part of an international team.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 18 months is a long time. But that's what they predict. It can be longer, might be shorter. Do we have Do we have it as in needed it as in yesterday? Yes, we needed it as in yesterday, but it's not going to happen. So therefore, people need to take responsibility. Also, I need to ask the people out there. There's only 2.5 million flu vaccines coming into the country. Those 2.5 million flu vaccines needs to go to the needy people, the people who is immune compromised, the people above a certain age group, above 60, 65. It is not for the 21-year-old guy who is actually going to the gym who's fit. That, please, we need to protect the real needy people out there. It's so important to get that out as well.
Definitely. And something else, we haven't, let's wrap up on this, in fact. We haven't yet heard any comparison between the Black Death and COVID-19. Hence, I'm curious to know, at this stage, could we make any such comparison?
Well, if we have lived in that a year when the Black Death was there, if we can turn back the clock, it was the same year, then this would have come out. You could have, I think, easily compared the two. But now, it's many, many years later, we are so much more, we have much more knowledge about containment of viruses, about hygiene, about what to do. So in this millennia, it will be a bit difficult to compare it because we are ahead of time. So, yeah, if it was in that age, or you, or millennia, then yes, you could have compared. But now, you know, we can block entrances, we can communicate on a different level with people, you don't need to be face-to-face, there's borders that can be shut down, which was not in during that time.
Okay.
And hygiene was not even, you know, they were not that... knowledgeable about washing hands, social distancing, the mere basic things.
Okay, thank you so much for your time. There's much more we could have spoken about, but unfortunately time is against us. But thank you for the little which you've managed to get out to the public.
I hope it helps the people out there, but please do not panic. The 80%, do not panic. You are going to be fine in the end. You're not our concern.
Okay, and that was Dr. Angelique Kutsia, National Chairperson of the South African Medical Association, speaking to us about the coronavirus pandemic and all about it in a South African context. That's where we leave it for today. Remember to wash your hands, sneeze in your elbows, and avoid close contact, because I think everyone should understand the situation after Dr. Kutsia has given us deep insight into what's going on. Don't forget that if you require any further information, please call the coronavirus hotline on 0800-029-999. Thank you for tuning in this afternoon, and thanks to technical producers Kanyuso Ziad Milazi and Chazia Zubair. I'm Zahir Jadut, and it's time for me to say goodbye. Enjoy your lockdown.
My family, my neighbors and my friends, standing firm together against oppression, holding hands. It doesn't matter where you're from, or if you're young or woman or man, we're here for the same reason. We want to take back our land. Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom. Freedom, we know you can hear our call. Oh, oh, we're calling for freedom, fighting for freedom. We know you won't let us fall. Oh, oh, we know you're here with us. Prisoners in our homes, no more being afraid to talk. Our dream is just to be free, just to be free. Now when we've taken our first step towards a life of complete freedom, we can see our dream getting closer and closer. We're almost there. Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom, freedom. We know you can hear our call. Oh, oh, we're calling for freedom, fighting for freedom. We know you won't let us fall. Oh, oh, I can feel the pride in the air, and it makes me strong to see everyone standing together, holding hands in unity, shouting out loud, demanding the right for freedom. This is it, and we're not backing up. Oh God, we know you hear our call, and we're calling you for freedom. For freedom, fighting for freedom. We know you won't let us fall. Oh, oh, we're calling for freedom, freedom. We know you can hear our call. Oh, oh, we're calling for freedom. Gathered here with my family, my neighbors and my friends, standing firm together.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, this is your brother Maher Zain. For my latest news and updates, join me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Salam.
For the same reason we want to take back our land. Oh God, thank you for giving us the strength to hold on. And now we're here together, calling you for freedom, freedom. We know you can hear our call. Oh, oh, we're calling for freedom.